This is MemberK Media, a media ministry of TWR. Up next, a conversation we believe will be helpful to you. This is a copyright production of MemberK Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.
Hello again, I'm back with part two of a four-part series called Thinking Becomes You. I started out last time talking about what we think and how that sometimes becomes who we are and how we behave. There's not an exact correlation there, but if you're pumping your brain full of thoughts, perhaps negative thoughts or things like that, there's a good chance that you're not going to be having a good day, if you get my drift. So I'm trying to say, can we turn that on its head? Now, for me, this has partially been related to the current economic issue and my fears and concerns, and frankly, they get the best of me sometimes. I worry about things. My kids think I'm a great worrier, that I take after my mom. I think I'm a good scenario builder, and I'm looking at options. But just like when they think I'm angry, I think I'm passionate. So, you know, I'm constantly reframing things. And that's just one of the weird things about me. But today I want to talk about it's 4 a.m. somewhere. What's that? Well, it gets at an idea that I've been looking at a lot lately, and that is that things can get pretty dark, and things can feel pretty dark, especially right now. And oftentimes, we wake up in the night when we're bothered a lot by something, whether we're depressed, working on a depression, anxious about something, or we wake up without really thinking about anything, perhaps, or at least anything conscious, because we have to go to the bathroom or something. And when we try to go back to sleep, our brain is going, say, aha, now that you're up, I have some things to think about. But, you know, it's 4 a.m. for me. That's kind of a metaphorical thing. It's before the dawn. It's possibly the darkest time before the dawn, depending on the cycles of the moon or whatever. But it's the issue of it's not a normal time to be focusing on things typically. Give me a little later. 5 o'clock is a really good time for me. I'm up or getting up and thinking and being creative. But 4 a.m., you know, it's like, oh, no. Now what's going on? What's bothering me? Oh, yeah, there it is again. So it's 4 a.m. somewhere. And as we struggle, it's these dark times that I think give us the most trouble. Now, interesting point about dark thinking. Does dark thinking automatically determine dark behavior? No, I don't think so. But I do think that it comes back to whatever you've been thinking about in the past, whatever has been filling your brain, being on the front burner, if you will, that is what is going to be the thing that you think about in the dark times. I think of in our wisdom literature, you know, we read about David, King David, and he was a guy that was supposedly after God's own heart. He was one of our superheroes. And yet, you know, he shows evidence that in all of the height of wonderfulness and coolness and heroicness that he was at, he was still capable of dropping down to the depths of depravity, if you will, of problem thinking, of stinking thinking, and stuff like that. And for me, the 4 a.m., it relates to the little story that he was up. He was home. First of all, he was home. He was not out on his military campaign. Either he was really a good delegator, but I've heard some people talk about the fact that maybe he was putting himself in danger's way by putting himself where he was bored, he was troubled, and he had one of those 4 a.m. experiences, if you will. It may not have been 4 a.m., but just hang on with me. So he's wandering around saying, what to do, what to do, what to do. At least this is how I think it happened. I haven't actually talked to him. But he's doing this kind of stuff, and he looks over the wall of his balcony, or the railing of his balcony, whatever. And he looks over across and down, and there's this famous scene where he sees Bathsheba taking a bath. And my first thought is, I wonder if that's where baths came from, Bathsheba, you know. Well, no, that's an example of my brain wandering. But, you know, the rest is, as they say, history. I mean, he decides that she's pretty cool and he wants her and he lusts after her and he has her and gets in a mess with trying to kill off her husband. And Nathan, you know, comes in and David pays and the whole country pays for this because David was wandering around thinking dark thoughts. And he was thinking thoughts that he shouldn't have been, and he was bored, and he wasn't focusing on the other aspects. And so, for me, that's kind of a picture that I think about when we go around filling our brain with garbage. We know from nutritionists that pretty much we put garbage in our stomachs, and we get garbage on our body, as in fat and all a host of other things. Well, I think it same thing works with our brains. As we put this stuff in... So I want to talk to you and me, I guess, because I do talk a lot to myself. And I want to ask these questions. What are you thinking about in terms of the 4 a.m.s, the dark times? If you are focusing only on the fact that things are bad and that you're stressed out and that you're quick to anger and slow to think, guess what? You're going to act before you think. You're going to do things. You're going to say things that are going to create additional negative atmospheres, if you will, that probably will push you down one path that you never intended to go. Did David wander around saying, oh, this is great, you know, he's having this incredible devotional time and he's singing praise songs and, you know, he's writing another psalm, you know, and he looks over and, oh, there's Bathsheba. I think I'm going to go have a moral failure with her. I don't think it's how it worked. I think it worked by David was dealing with a lot of stuff. He wasn't feeling probably close to God at that point. And when he was thinking about a lot of stuff, he was thinking about him solving a lot of stuff. And the weight of that decision-making and that responsibility was on his shoulders. And he was probably also entertaining evil thoughts, if you will. So then in that context, with his brain just literally bathed, to use a bad metaphor, in that kind of stuff, how much easier was it then to say, whoa, dude, I want to go there? And I think that's kind of how it happens with you and me. You know, we can't bring David on the program here, but we can think about that and apply that to our own lives. If you are continuously or regularly refining those sort of memory paths in your brain, if you will, if you're thinking constantly on those bad thoughts, those negative thoughts, guess what? When the opportunity arises, you will probably be a lot more at risk. You know, I travel a lot and I hear about, or I see in the movies about people that travel a lot that do wrong things, that commit adultery and everything. And I'm always amazed because sometimes I'm completely unaware that any opportunities of that is going on. Now, it's not necessarily because I'm that strong of a person of faith or anything. I think I'm kind of dense, thankfully, on some of those things. But if I'm focused on other stuff, it's amazing how many more opportunities I theoretically would have. Life is full. Life is anonymous when you're far away from home. There's all kinds of opportunities to do things. And if you go there prepared to think about that stuff, or if you go there thinking about that stuff, you're that much more likely to figure out how to do it or to be open to letting it happen around you. And those are very troubling things. Man, I kind of took a turn towards a negative point today, but I wanted to illustrate to you and to me that our thinking can prepare a way for us, and our thinking in the wrong way can prepare a wrong way for us. What we think about encourages us to go in those directions. It's not exactly that, but it certainly makes it easier if you've done all the heavy thinking before you do the heavy lifting. Okay, so I want you to focus now. We're going to turn the tables after this sort of oppressive or negative talking. And we're going to turn the tables and say, so then what should we be thinking about? And I've got some ideas for you that we're going to go over next time. Talk to you next time.
The This feature is a presentation of Member Care Media. Thanks for taking the time to listen. We invite you to check out our website further. We offer audio features and resources to help you in your work and daily life. In addition, we have links to other helpful websites that will be an encouragement to you and your family. This is a copyright production of Member Care Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.